Well, it is good to see you this morning, and I hope that you take advantage of those finances or those financial resources wherever you are in your finances. We all have things that we need to learn and ways that we need to grow, and so I encourage you to do that. We also are excited. There's another one called Legacy Journey, and I know some of you have inquired about that, and that's part of the Ramsey Plus, so you can watch the videos. We are planning on having a Legacy Journey class also, and so that's coming up, but encourage you to consider that, and you can contact the church office if you have more questions. And as Clay shared, things that are coming up, we appreciate that. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing this morning. Father, as we come before you, may we be encouraged in Jesus Christ. Lord, as we begin a new year, we are excited about what you have in store for us as individuals. We're excited what you have in store for us as a church family. Lord, we want to glorify you, and as we look at the idea of idols, Lord, help us to recognize that you need to be in first place in our lives, and what an encouragement it is when we put our faith and trust in you for our salvation, but as also we put our faith and trust in you in our daily life. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. And for those of you watching online, thank you for your faithfulness in being a part online. For the month of January, we're going to begin a series talking about idols. And I'm excited about it. And my prayer is that this series isn't a downer, but it's a challenge. Because there's lots of things in our lives that are competing for our time, competing for our passion, competing for our focus in life. And God is a jealous God, and he desires to be number one. And for each of us, my prayer is that we will examine our priorities, we will examine what we look at for our passion, for our focus, for our time and resources. So I'd like to begin with a myth about idols. You know, we think of idols, and oftentimes we think of idols and we picture an ancient idol or a third world country. And you say, oh yeah, idols. And maybe if you've studied your Bible some, you say, yeah, in the Old Testament they talked about these idols, you know, Baal and all these different idols that the people around Israel worshipped. Or maybe it's a third world country. You know, if you're along the countryside, you see the little thing set up with the candles and a little idol in it or somebody's house. But I mean, come on. 21st century America, we don't have idols. I'm not going to go home this afternoon and go bow before this little wooden statue that's sitting in my living room. We don't deal or have issues with idols. But that's a myth, because we have just as many battles with idols today as they did in ancient times. We have just as many battles with idols in developed countries as they do in third world countries. Idols are something that each and every one of us in this room fight each and every day. Idols. So it's a myth if we say that idols are old time or third world country. No, idols are something that each and every one of us battle with each and every day. In 2 Kings chapter 17, we see sort of a summary of the nation of Israel's battle with idols and their failure in idols. So follow along with me. We're going to begin in verse 33 of 2 Kings chapter 17. They, that's the people, feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. To this day, they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes or their ordinances, or the law and commandment with which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, or that's the Israelites, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, "You shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them, but the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice." And the statutes and ordinances, the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods, that the Lord your God you shall fear, and he shall deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. However, they, the people, did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images, and the children of their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. So the nation of Israel was following in the footsteps of the nations that dwelt around them. Instead of being an influence for good for the nations around them, the nation of Israel was influenced by the nations around them. And they followed that same path that those other nations had followed, the path of idolatry. And oftentimes those people of Israel had a facade of following God. But in reality, their hearts were drawn toward other things. So what is a definition of idolatry, or a definition of an idol? Now, you can find many variations of a definition of idol. You can Google it and you'll find all kinds of different ones. But basically, it comes down in its simplest form to this. An idol is anything or anyone that takes the place of God in my life. If there's something else in my life that takes the place of God, for me, that's an idol. Ken Sandy, in his book, The Peacemaker, defines an idol this way. He says this, "In biblical terms, it is something other than God that we set our heart on, that motivates us, that masters or rules us, or that we trust, fear, or serve." And then he goes on to say that an idol can be referred to as a false god or really a functional god. And I enjoy that term, a functional god, to help us to understand what an idol is. An idol is anything or anyone that functions as God in my life. Now, what I set my heart on, what motivates me, what controls me, what I serve. That would be a definition of an idol. So how would we describe an idol? Describing idols helps us to gain a better understanding of the idols that I can be fighting with in my life, and something that has a place of prominence in my life. Richard Keys states, "An idol can be a physical object, a property, a person, an activity, a role, an institution, a hope, an image, an idea, a pleasure, a hero, anything that can substitute for God." Now, here's something that oftentimes we don't think through thoroughly enough. We need to understand that an idol can be something that is in itself good, bad, or neutral. Oftentimes we say in our life, well, that's not an idol because it's a good thing. Well, a good thing that's placed in the wrong position in our order of priorities can be an idol. Maybe a relationship can be an idol in our life because that takes priority over God. What's it doing? It's becoming a functional god. It's taking the place that God deserves and calls for. So we have to understand a description of idols, that idols aren't necessarily bad things. They're anything that's put in the wrong position. John Calvin described it this way: the evil in our desire, and speaking about idols here, typically does not lie in what we want, but that we want it too much. A good thing that I want too much can be an idol in my life. And my focus, my passion, my resources, when they are put towards that rather than toward God as the number one priority in my life, that is wrong. Now, they can be bad things too. Or they can be things that are neutral. Oftentimes we say, well, I don't have an idol in my house, but maybe your house is your idol. That's your passion. What controls you? What you are passionate about? We all struggle with idols. Everyone in this room, everyone that's watching online, every single one of us struggle with idols, and it's a daily battle. Things in my life that are fighting to take the place of God. We have lots of things, lots of people in our lives that are calling for our time, that are calling for our passion, that are calling for our focus. It's interesting, in Exodus, we see what we call the Ten Commandments. Pretty familiar passage in the book of Exodus. Remember, Moses went up on the mountain and God gave him this list of 10 things. And you see in the list, the first of the commandments deal with our relationship with God, and the last portion of the commandments deal with our relationship with others. But it begins with commandment number one: thou shalt have no other gods before me. God speaking. That's the foundation to all the other commandments. That's number one. God is a jealous God. He demands to be number one in our lives, and that first commandment is a foundation to all other commandments. We were looking at 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. In 2 Kings chapter 17, or we actually began, sorry, in verse 33 and following, but I want us to jump back to verse 15. Throughout this chapter, the nation of Israel had been turning their back on God and being influenced by the people around them. So at this point, they were going to be, and some already had been, captured. The northern and the southern kingdoms of Israel. Northern kingdom was conquered before the southern kingdom, but we see that both of these kingdoms would be conquered by world powers. But in verse 15, we see a sad progression of what took place in the nation of Israel to lead them to the place that they were here in 2 Kings 17. Verse 15 says, and they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers and his testimonies which he had testified against them. So what happens? They rejected God. And then it goes on. It says, they followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations which were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So it's interesting, in this passage, or in this verse, we see a progression to idolatry. And it's a progression to idolatry that the people of Israel faced in the Old Testament, but it's also a progression to idolatry that each and every one of us battles every day of our lives. So what was this progression that they fought and failed in fighting? We see in that first part of verse 15 that they rejected God's words. They chose to ignore God. But in our lives, if God's not at the center, something else is going to be. And so when they rejected God, they put something else in the center, and it says that they followed their own desires. But it didn't stop that. As they followed their own desires, their identity changed. And you see right there in the middle of a verse, it says, and they became idolaters. Their identity changed from a God follower to an idol follower. And that changed because God was no longer the center, other things were. And then the end of the verse shares that they became like the world around them. Their priorities had changed, their focus, their passion had all changed, and they became idolaters. Things took the place of God. An idol. Anything in my life that takes the place of God. And it's interesting, if we go back to verses 33 through 41, we see that they still did some of the ritual of following God. They still did some of the sacrifices that God had called them to do. They still did the formality. But their heart wasn't there. And we have the same challenge today. You see, a relationship with God isn't just a set of rules and regulations that we follow. It's called to be a vibrant relationship with God. He needs to be our number one priority. But oftentimes in our lives, and for every one of us, it's an easy trap to fall into. We go through the motions of serving God, and we do good things for God. But our heart is drawn in other directions. And when that takes place, the same thing will happen to us that happened to the nation of Israel. They began to not listen to the words of God, and they followed their other desires, their other passions, good, bad, or indifferent. And pretty soon they became known not as a follower of God, but someone who is passionate about whatever that idol was in their life or whatever could be the idol in our life. And those actions became an identity. And our actions will become an identity also. And then God will become an afterthought. And that's what he was in the nation of Israel. So as we continue on in this series about idols, we must recognize that following idols is not something that just took place in ancient times or takes place in third world countries. It's something that we battle with. We must recognize that an idol in our life isn't necessarily a bad thing. It could be a good thing in the wrong place. And that our battles with idols isn't just a one-time skirmish. It's a daily fight. And Satan knows exactly where to attack us. And he is going to attack us. You remember the game Red Rover, Red Rover? There is a serious strategy to that game. Now, I don't know about you, but when I played Red Rover in elementary school at recess time, the goal was to win at all costs. Now, if you remember the game, what happens is you take and you get a lineup of people on each team, and you line up and you hold hands. Sometimes we had to hold hands with girls, which was not good, but sometimes we had to. But you would hold hands, and then the other two, you'd call somebody, Red Rover, send Joe right over. Now, if you were the ones calling, you had a strategy. Because you had to figure out who was that person that would be a good handholder, that wouldn't lose grip, but wouldn't blow through your team. So you had picked the right person to call. But when you were picked, you were to run over to the other side, you would pick the weakest link. And that's exactly what Satan does. He knows your weakest spot. It may be the car lot on the way home. It may be that position at work that becomes your passion in life will not be the same unless you get that position. It may be that relationship that you desire. It may be that number in your bank account. It may be that hobby that changes from a hobby to a can't live without passion that controls your time and your focus. Whatever it is. And again, it could be a good thing, but a good thing that's put in the wrong position. God says, don't have any other gods before me. Now, I enjoy a new year. I enjoy a new year, and we look at 2020. It was a strange year, wasn't it? 2021, we don't know what 2021 brings. But as we look at a new year, it's a great opportunity for us to reprioritize. Now, some people, and I enjoy New Year's resolutions. Some other people say, don't make a New Year's resolution, you know, make a daily resolution. And whatever your thoughts are on that. As we begin a new year, it's a great time to look ahead and say, what is going to be my focus going forward? God has one answer that he calls for you to have as your focus, that he calls for me to have as my focus, and that is him. He needs to be number one. I love 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about how we should be enjoying the things that God gives us, and God is a gracious God, and we have so many things to enjoy. But those also can't be our priority. God calls us to live in honoring him in our relationships, but our relationship with God must be number one. We must recognize that there are things in our lives that are going to be fighting for our time, for our passion, and for our focus. But we need to make sure that God is number one. Next week, we're going to examine how we can find out what are idols in our lives. So if I gave you a homework assignment this week, it'd be to just spend some time considering what are things in my life that are very easy to misprioritize, to become functional gods in my life. And as we look through Scripture, it's amazing the battles, both Old Testament and New Testament. And as we go on these next weeks, we'll identify idols in our own lives and we'll see the dangers or the lies that idols share, but also how we can have victory over idols. And I guarantee you, money back guaranteed, when God is number one, we will have joy. And we will have peace, and we will have a strong relationship with the Creator of the world. And that's what we're called to. Satan is a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8, seeking to devour us. But God is our hope and our strength. He needs to be number one. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you, as Almighty God, care about us and love us even when we mess up. But Lord, as we look at idols and as we recognize that every one of us has idols that we battle, Lord, help us to make sure our priorities are correct. Make sure that we focus on you, number one. And Lord, may you be glorified in our lives in every aspect. And we will give you the glory for what you will do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.